You are listening to an ADIS Journal podcast.
Welcome to our podcast, Subcutaneous Amivantamab and Lazertinib in Paloma 3, Efficacy, Safety, and Administration. My name is Danny Nguyen, and I'm an oncologist at City of Hope in Irvine, California. This podcast reviews the rationale and data supporting subcutaneous or sub-Q amivantamab based on the Paloma 3 study of amivantamab plus lazertinib. We will review dosage and administration of sub-Q amivantamab, including free medications, concomitant medications, dose modifications, and expert recommendations for managing adverse reactions in clinical practice. Amivantamab is a bispecific antibody targeting both EGFR and MET, and is approved for several indications as a single agent or in combination with other anti-cancer agents for patients with EGFR mutated, advanced, or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. Amivantamab was initially approved as an intravenous or IV injection. However, sub-Q amivantamab has been investigated in multiple trials to assess tolerability, efficacy, safety, and patient experience. The Paloma 3 study investigated the non-inferiority of pharmacokinetics, efficacy, and safety of sub-Q versus IV amivantamab combined with lazertinib in patients with EGFR-mutated advanced non-small cell lung cancer after disease progression on osimertinib and platinum-based chemotherapy. In the Paloma 3 study, 206 patients were randomized to sub-Q amivantamab plus lazertinib, and 212 patients were randomized to IV amivantamab plus lazertinib. The primary endpoint results demonstrated non-inferior pharmacokinetics of sub-Q versus IV amivantamab. Geometric mean ratios of C-trough for sub-Q to IV amivantamab were 1.15 at cycle 2 day 1 and 1.42 at cycle 4 day 1. The cycle 2 AUC day 1 to 15 was 1.03. Key secondary outcomes were consistent between sub-Q and IV amivantamab. Objective response rate was 30% in the sub-Q group and 33% in the IV group. Objective response rate in the sub-Q group met the non-inferiority criterion by retaining greater than or equal to 60% of the objective response rate in the IV group. Median progression-free survival was 6.1 and 4.3 months in the sub-Q and IV groups, respectively. While sub-Q amivantamab lowered administration-related reaction rates as expected, adverse events, including EGFR and MET-related events, were generally consistent or improved for sub-Q versus IV amivantamab. Most patients had at least one adverse event, most commonly nail toxicity, rash, musculoskeletal pain, fatigue, and stomatitis. The most common grade 3 or higher adverse events were dermatitis acneiform at 9% and 6% in the sub-Q and IV groups, respectively, and lymphopenia at less than 1% and 8%, respectively. Fewer venous thromboembolism events were reported in the sub-Q versus IV groups at 9% and 14%, respectively, most commonly pulmonary embolism and deep vein thrombosis. Reduced administration-related reactions were reported with sub-Q versus IV amivantamab. 13% and 66% of patients reported an administration-related reaction. All administration-related adverse events ranged between 0% and 6% in the sub-Q group and 2% and 20% in the IV group. Of those who experienced an administration-related reaction, 89% occurred with the initial dose. At cycle 1, day 1, administration time per injection was less than 5 minutes with sub-Q amivantamab versus 5 hours with IV amivantamab. Administration time was about 2 hours for IV amivantamab in subsequent cycles. Also at cycle 1, day 1, sub-Q amivantamab was reported as very convenient or convenient by 85% of patients versus 52% of patients for the IV infusion. Sub-Q amivantamab was also reported as very convenient or convenient by 85% of patients at the end of treatment, compared with 35% of patients for the IV infusion. Altogether, the Paloma 3 study showed non-inferior pharmacokinetics, consistent anti-tumor response, consistent or improved safety, and enhanced patient-reported convenience of sub-Q amivantamab versus the IV infusion, supporting the approval of sub-Q amivantamab in EGFR-mutated non-small cell lung cancer. In clinical practice, treatment decisions often reflect both patient preference and logistical considerations in tandem with the guidance provided in the prescribing information. To optimize tolerability and safety, sub-Q amivantamab should be initiated on a prescribed schedule, following guidance for pre-medication and prophylactic measures, and modifying dose to mitigate adverse reactions as described in the prescribing information. Amivantamab is co-formulated with human recombinant hyaluronidase for sub-Q administration. Hyaluronidase is an endoglycosidase used to increase the dispersion and absorption of co-administered drugs when administered subcutaneously. Sub-Q amivantamab is available as 160 milligrams amivantamab and 2,000 units per milliliters of hyaluronidase. Recommended dosing of sub-Q amivantamab varies by indication and patient weight. For first-line amivantamab plus lazertinib in patients with locally advanced or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer with EGFR exon 19 deletions or exon 21 L858R mutations, amivantamab should be administered at 1,600 milligrams for patients weighing less than 80 kilograms and 2,240 milligrams for patients 80 kilograms or more. Amivantamab should be administered weekly during weeks 1 to 4, then using an every 2-week or every 4-week regimen starting at week 5 onwards. This dosing and schedule are also recommended for second-line amivantamab as monotherapy in patients with locally advanced or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer with EGFR exon 20 insertion mutations. For first-line amivantamab plus carboplatin and pemetrexed in patients with locally advanced or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer with EGFR exon 20 insertion mutations, amivantamab should be administered weekly with 1,600 milligrams in week 1, 2,400 milligrams in weeks 2 to 3, and every 3 weeks starting at week 4 onward for patients weighing less than 80 kilograms. Amivantamab should be administered weekly with 2,240 milligrams in week 1, 3,360 milligrams in weeks 2 to 3, and every 3 weeks starting at week 4 onwards for patients 80 kilograms and over. This dosing and schedule are also recommended for second-line amivantamab with carboplatin and pemetrexed in patients with locally advanced or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer with EGFR exon 19 deletions or exon 21 L858R mutations. From a clinical perspective, considerations around switching may include factors such as disease control, treatment continuity, tolerability history, adverse event burden, and patient preferences around treatment time and availability for clinic visits. When switching amivantamab dosing, patients currently receiving IV amivantamab every 2 weeks may switch to sub-Q amivantamab at an every 2 week or an every 4 week dosing regimen at their next scheduled dose on or after week 5. Patients currently receiving IV amivantamab every 3 weeks may switch to sub-Q amivantamab every 3 weeks at their next scheduled dose on or after week 4. Patients receiving sub-Q amivantamab every 2 weeks may switch to an every 4 week sub-Q dosing regimen at their next scheduled dose on or after week 5. In all cases, close monitoring is important when switching doses. Pre-medication strategies are routinely used as part of treatment administration, particularly in early treatment cycles. To reduce the risk of administration-related reactions, recommended pre-medications to be given before sub-Q amivantamab include an antihistamine, an antipyretic, and a glucocorticoid. The Cocoon study demonstrated the importance of prophylactic strategies in reducing the risk and severity of dermatologic adverse events with amivantamab plus lazertinib, prompting the recommended regimen of an oral antibiotic for the first 12 weeks of treatment, followed by an antibiotic lotion plus supportive skincare and sun protection. When initiating amivantamab sub-Q in combination with lazertinib, anticoagulant prophylaxis is prescribed for the first 4 months of treatment to prevent venous thromboembolic events. In practice, dose modifications are frequently used in routine care to manage tolerability while maintaining treatment. Sub-Q amivantamab dosing can be modified as needed to mitigate or eliminate particular adverse reactions. Dose interruption and reductions are recommended upon the start of an adverse reaction, with a second dose reduction as needed, and treatment discontinuation for continuing or recurring adverse reactions. Here we show the recommended dose modifications and management for adverse reactions with sub-Q amivantamab, including guidance on managing hypersensitivity and administration-related reactions as needed. These events are uncommon with sub-Q amivantamab and rarely led to discontinuations in the PALOMA 3 study. Refer to the prescribing information for amivantamab or lazertinib for further information about dose modifications for each drug. In conclusion, sub-Q amivantamab demonstrated non-inferior pharmacokinetics and anti-tumor responses compared with IV amivantamab in the PALOMA 3 study. Sub-Q amivantamab also reduced administration-related reactions and venous thromboembolic events with prophylactic anticoagulation with shorter treatment administration times and enhanced patient convenience compared with IV. These data support the approved sub-Q indications for amivantamab. Administration dose modifications for adverse events and the use of pre-medications and concomitant medications should follow the approved sub-Q amivantamab labeling.
You can listen to more podcasts by subscribing to ADIS Journal Podcasts with your preferred podcast provider or by visiting the journal website. For a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements and copyright information, please visit the article page on the journal website. The link to the article page can be found in the podcast description.